One, two, three, four, five, six.
Hello, my name is Holly Hedgepeth, and I'm with the Cancer Services Program of Columbia and Greene County, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lillian Liu of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Kate Cox, Associate Director of Development for the Bard Prison Initiative. If you would like to attend Bard College in pursuit of a bachelor's degree, we're offering a full scholarship program for adult learners. The Bard Baccalaureate comes at zero cost to students. Tuition, fees, and books are covered by scholarships and grants that do not have to be paid back. This program is for you if you're 24 and older, have a high school diploma or equivalency, if you've been directly impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, or if you've been deterred or excluded from higher education by structural racism and other forms of inequity. If you have some college experience, welcome. We accept up to 64 credits towards a degree. U.S. citizenship is not required. Bard admits and supports undocumented students. The deadline for applying is Friday, July 24th, and classes begin mid-August.
Thank you. mind of
Myers.
After an absence of 76 years, the return of Halley's Comet creates an atmosphere of excitement and anticipation. Around the country, people wait in line at observatories to get a better look at the comet through powerful telescopes.
Looked like a small piece of cotton, more or less, little dot.
Is it just that fuzzy thing in the middle?
That's it. Just that fuzzy thing.
The only thing there.
Sorry about that, but that's all there is.
I guess it was a little disappointing. There was so much play given to it.
But the scientific gains from the encounter are as rich as expected.
The darkness of the surface came as a slight surprise that it's darker than we anticipated.
Perhaps in the year 2061, this little boy will get a better view of the comet.
He stood a moment on the steps of the bank, watching the human river that swirled down Broadway. Few noticed him. Few ever noticed him, save in a way that stung. He was outside the world. Nothing, as he said bitterly. Bits of the words of the walkers came to him. The comet? The comet. Everybody was talking of it. Even the president, as he entered, smiling patronizingly at him and asked, "Well, Jim, are you scared?" "No," said the messenger shortly. "I thought we'd journeyed through the comet's tail once," broke in the junior clerk affably. "Oh, that was Halley's," said the president. "This is a new comet, quite a stranger, they say. Wonderful, wonderful. I saw it last night. Oh, by the way, Jim," turning again to the messenger, "I want you to go down into the lower vault today." The messenger followed the president silently. Of course they wanted him to go to the lower vaults. It was too dangerous for more valuable men. He smiled grimly and listened. "Everything of value has been moved out since the water began to seep in," said the president. "But we missed two volumes of old records. Suppose you nose around there. It isn't very pleasant, I suppose." "Not very," said the messenger as he walked out.
"Well, Jim, the tail of the new comet hits us at noon this time," said the vault clerk as he passed over the keys. But the messenger passed silently down the stairs, Down he went, beneath Broadway, where the dim light filtered through the feet of hurrying men. Down to the dark basement beneath. Down into the blackness and silence beneath that lowest cavern. Here, with his dark lantern, he groped in the bowels of the earth, under the world. He drew a long breath as he threw back the last great iron door and stepped into the fetid slime within. Here, at last, was peace, and he groped moodily forward. A great rat leaped past him, and cobwebs crept across his face. He felt carefully around the room, shelf by shelf, on the muddied floor and in the crevice and corner. Nothing. Then he went back to the far end, where somehow the wall felt different. He sounded and pushed and pried. Nothing. He started away. Then something brought him back. He was sounding and working again when suddenly the whole black wall swung as on a mighty hinge and blackness yawned beyond. He peered in. It was evidently a secret vault, some hiding place of the old bank unknown in newer times. He entered hesitatingly. It was a long, narrow room with shelves, and at the far end an old iron chest. On a high shelf lay the two missing volumes of records, and others. He put them carefully aside and stepped to the chest. It was old, strong, and rusty. He looked at the vast and old-fashioned lock and flashed his light on the hinges. They were deeply encrusted with rust. Looking about, he found a bit of iron and began to pry. The rust had eaten 100 years and it had gone deep. Slowly, wearily, the old lid lifted, and with a last low groan lay bare its treasure, and he saw the dull sheen of gold. Boom! A low, grinding, reverberating crash struck upon his ear. He started up and looked about. All was black and still. He groped for his light and swung it about him. Then he knew. The great stone door had swung to. He forgot the gold and looked death squarely in the face. Then, with a sigh, he went methodically to work. The cold sweat stood on his forehead, but he searched, pounded, pushed, and worked until after what seemed endless hours, his hand struck a cold bit of metal, and the great door swung again harshly on its hinges, and then, striking against something soft and heavy, stopped. He had just room to squeeze through. There lay the body of the vault clerk, cold and stiff. He stared at it, and then felt sick and nauseated. The air seemed unaccountably foul with a strong, peculiar odor. He stepped forward, clutched at the air, and fell, fainting, across the corpse. He awoke with a sense of horror, leaped from the body, and groped up the stairs, calling to the guard. The watchman sat as if asleep, with the gate swinging free. With one glance at him, the messenger hurried up to the sub-vault. In vain he called to the guards. His voice echoed and re-echoed weirdly. Up into the great basement he rushed. Here another guard lay prostrate on the floor, on his face, cold and still. A fear arose in the messenger's heart. He dashed up to the cellar floor, up into the bank. The stillness of death lay everywhere, and everywhere bowed, bent, and stretched the silent forms of men. The messenger paused and glanced about. He was not a man easily moved, but the sight was appalling. Robbery and murder, he whispered slowly to himself as he saw the twisted, oozing mouth of the president, where he lay half buried on his desk. Then a new thought seized him. If they found him here alone, with all this money and all these dead men, what would his life be worth? He glanced about, tiptoed cautiously to a side door, and again looked behind. Quietly, he turned the latch and stepped out into Wall Street.
How silent the street was. Not a soul was stirring, and yet it was high noon. Wall Street? Broadway? He glanced almost wildly up and down, then across the street, and as he looked, a sickening horror froze in his limbs. With a choking cry of utter fright, he lunged, leaned giddily against the cold building, and stared helplessly at the sight. In the great stone doorway, 100 men and women and children lay crushed and twisted and jammed, forced into that great gaping doorway like refuse in a can. As if in one wild, frantic rush to safety, they had rushed and ground themselves to death. Slowly, the messenger crept along the walls, wetting his parched mouth and trying to comprehend, stilling the tremor in his limbs and the rising terror in his heart. He met a businessman, silk-hatted and frock-coated, who had crept, too, along that smooth wall, and stood now stone-dead with wonder written on his lips. The messenger turned his eyes hastily away and sought the curb. A woman leaned wearily against the signpost, her head bowed motionless on her lace and silken bosom. Before her stood a streetcar, silent, and within, but the messenger but glanced and hurried on. A grimy newsboy sat in the gutter with the last edition in his uplifted hand. "Danger," screamed its black headlines. "Warnings wired around the world. The comet's tail sweeps past us at noon. Deadly gases expected."
Good evening. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. I'm Alana, your host. This is There There, a monthly broadcast celebrating all manner of performance and performance sounds. We're broadcasting live tonight from an undisclosed location in the wilds of Ulster County. The woods, more like it. It's not terribly wild, but there are some bears. Some chipmunks, definitely. A few minks. Possible polecat sightings. Lots and lots of birds. It's a wonderful place. Thanks for tuning in tonight. As you may have guessed, we're focusing on the comet this month. There's a comet that's been hanging around our northern hemisphere skies for the last week. It's on its way out. Got a chance to have a little peek at it through a telescope last night. There was a little blip in the show earlier, which no doubt was due to some vibrations from the comet. You never know what's going to happen next. But I'm happy to be here on this semi-sweaty night. Hope all of you are surviving and thriving. Sending my love out to friends, family, WGXC cohort. We'll be on until 8 o'clock this evening when Tony Fallon takes over with the Irish show. For the last few minutes, we started the show with Do Make Say Think, the fare to get there. And then a track by the band The Comet Is Coming called Summon the Fire. After that, some stock news footage about Halley's Comet and some pinball machine sounds from a recording made in 1985. A comet pinball machine, that is. And after that, we heard an excerpt from a reading of the short story The Comet by W.E.B. Du Bois, read by Hollis Monroe. Since we're celebrating unusual things in the skies, I thought I might read some a little bit of comet poetry, impromptu. I pulled a little bit up. Let's see what we got here from a poetry website. This has not been rehearsed,
but I thought it was worth sharing. We have Comet Icarus by John M. McCullough from 2011. A comet passed too near the sun and was filmed disintegrating. Perhaps its GPS was off, or just recalculating. The solar skimming comet surely melted in the heat. Old King Sol, our yellow dwarf, enjoyed his slurpy treat. Astronomers were quite tight-lipped when asked to speak upon it. All I got from one stargazer was a terse, "No comet." Wah, wah. Here's another one. The Comet. No author. Listed. From 2016. I am just like a comet, flying, soaring, crashing down, not caring about my direction. The burning fire in the back is my crown. I'm a distraction. Some say disaster. I say faster. I say free. I say I am a comet. And if you're lucky, you'll be one of the stars in my path before I crash, burn, die. Let's see. I think we can do one more of these before we go back to some tunes. Oh, that's kind of long. What else we got here? Well, you know, maybe we'll come back to if there's time. Okay, here's one more. Comet Boy by Adrian from 2018. You're a real comet boy, aren't you? Everyone wants to call you a shooting star. But you know, you're just a falling rock. Glittery and pretty boy, all bright and cheery. We all want to know if you light up the dark. Eyelashes cluttered with stardust. Do you wear a crown of broken moonstones? Cracked and gorgeous, your beauty is your pain. Oh, so sad yet so pretty, comet boy. We all want to heal you. Won't you let us heal you? All right. We've got just under a half an hour left. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're not doing a regular pledge drive right now because of a lot of the operations are shut down. Nobody's using the studio right now, but the station does still need money to survive. So if you have a chance, go to wgxc.org/donate. If you like what you hear on WGXC, if you have given before and are feeling ready to give again, now's a good time. We can definitely use it. It's listener-supported radio, and listeners are a big part of how we survive and have such wonderful eclectic programming here on WGXC. If you're not familiar, there's a website, wgxc.org. You can listen in all over the world. There's several streams going 24 hours a day. Local news, experimental sounds, local interviews, all kinds of wonderful music. So check it out.
Time evolves and comes to a place where it renews again. There is first a purification time, then there is renewal time. We are getting very close to this time now. We were told that we would see America come and go. In a sense, America is dying from within because they forgot the instructions on how to live on Earth. Everything is coming to a time where prophecy and man's inability to live on Earth in a spiritual way will come to a crossroad of great problems. It's the Hopi belief, it's our belief that if you're not spiritually connected to the earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to live on earth, it's likely you will not make it. When Columbus came, that began what we term as the First World War. That was the true First World War when Columbus arrived. Because along with him came everybody from Europe. By the end of the Second World War, we were, in America, we were only 800,000. From 60 million to 800,000. So we were almost exterminated here in America. Everything is spiritual. Everything has a spirit. Everything was brought to you by the Creator, the one Creator. Some people call him God. Some people call him Buddha. Some people call him Allah. Some people call him other names. We call him Tonkashila, grandfather. Here on earth only a few winters, then we go to the spirit world. The spirit world is more real than most of us believe. The spirit world is everything. Over 95% of our body is water. In order to stay healthy, you've got to drink good water. When the European first came here, Columbus, we could drink out of any river. If the Europeans had lived the Indian way when they came, we'd still be drinking out of water because water is sacred. The air is sacred. Our DNA is made of the same DNA as the tree. The tree breathes what we exhale. When the tree exhales, we need what the tree exhales. So we have a common destiny with the tree. We are all from the earth. And when the earth, the water, the atmosphere is corrupted, then it will create its own reaction. Mother is reacting. In the Hopi prophecy, they say the storms and floods will become greater. To me, it's not a negative thing to know that there will be great changes. It's not negative. It's evolution. When you look at it as evolution, it's time. Nothing stays the same.
Thank you. Benji and I formed a cult called the Star Gentle Utarians, and our mission was to transform your soul into digital data and migrate to the next level.
Store it for you so you could live without your body and be immortal, essentially.
Yeah.
Everybody's maximalist, going to town on every single square inch of the room.
Maximalism is way more stuff than you think is going to actually be pleasing.
The story here is about a group, a large group of people who have given up individualism for collectivism, who've decided to work together under some anonymous name. Their name's not on the work. The name on the work is Meow Wolf, and they've dedicated themselves to that.
I'm not much of a visual artist, you know, I've never really have been. But I'm like looking at all this stuff and realizing like, okay, if we're creating a world, then who inhabits that world?
Meow Wolf itself, the beast, can spread out like with weird little tendrils, and like it chooses people and absorbs them into its amorphous blob.
Sure that I exist.
'Cause it's never the right time. Never the right love for you. I drag you out to the edge of the water. I don't want you. I don't accept you.
power. Born with the power.
All right. You've been listening to WGXC ACRA, Radio for Open Ears, creative community radio broadcasting on FM in Greene and Columbia counties and around the world online at WGXC.org. I'm Alana, your host. This has been There, a monthly broadcast celebrating all manner of performance and performance sounds. This month we were celebrating the comet and astral phenomena. We have just a few minutes left. We just heard Larkin Grimm with Chasing an Illusion. Before that, Schrodinger's Cat by the Ghost of the Saber-Toothed Tiger. And before that, we heard from Floyd Red Crow Westerman from a documentary about Hopi prophecy. Thanks so much for listening. Tony Fallon's up next. And I wish you all health and safety. And a good evening. Thanks.
Can you imagine where you will be in the year 2000?
In the year 2000, where will we be? Hanging on that star or a willow tree? In the year 2000, just you and me. In a year or two, there could be three. We'll walk on the moon. Just wait and see. I'll build a hut, then we'll be free. Yes, free in the year 2000. How happy we'll be. We'll be in college, you and me. We'll even play football too on the year 2000. I wonder where we will be on the year 2000. In the year 2000. Be in the year 2000. I think I'll be on the moon.
This is Lucia Pamela. We hope you have enjoyed your stay on the moon. Watch for Lucia Pamela's next record coming out soon.